The first reading is from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord, yet you ask what we have said against you. You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as the Father has compassion and spares his Son, who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 through 20. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Eric. Please rise. The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 23, verses 27 to 43. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nurse.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, Eric just read Malachi 3, verse 18, which says, "And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, those who serve God and those who don't." So that raises a question in Malachi. Who's righteous and who's wicked? Are the righteous us? and the wicked those people? After all, we like to see ourselves as righteous. We like to see ourselves as good people. And we live in a polarized society where sadly, we often divide ourselves into camps of us and them. But the real question here is uncomfortable. The real question is, are you righteous or wicked in the eyes of God? We're not talking about the other guy. We're talking about you. The episode that we just read about Jesus on the cross has a lot to say about your status as righteous or wicked in God's eyes. And we'll get to that. But first, before we do, I want to say that throughout his ministry, Jesus told parables. And many of those parables also deal with this question, who's righteous and who's wicked? And in the parables, Jesus' answer to that question was almost always different from what people expected. In fact, it was usually shocking to those who were listening to Jesus as he told these parables. For example, my favorite, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who both went to the temple to pray. Pharisees were at the apex of Jewish religious society and took great pains to abide by the religious law. Tax collectors, on the other hand, were blatantly sinful. They collected taxes from fellow Jews, skimmed as much as they possibly could off the top, and turned in the rest of the money to the hated Romans who occupied Israel at the time. Tax collectors were despised for good reason. But the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector ends with Jesus proclaiming, I tell you the truth, it's the hated tax collector who went home justified, meaning declared righteous in God's eyes. That's not the ending anyone expected. In the parable of the prodigal son, at the end, it was the rebellious, disrespectful younger son who'd squandered his father's money on drugs and prostitutes. He's the one dancing and singing with his friends at a feast thrown in his honor by his father, a feast that represented heaven. Meanwhile, the responsible, diligent, hardworking, and seemingly righteous older son who'd never disobeyed his father, he was so enraged he refused to even enter the tent where the party was going on. He refused to join the party that represented heaven. What's up with that? In that story, who's the righteous and who's the wicked? Then there's the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan, a despised member of a religious cult. The Samaritan ends up the hero of that parable. The people listening to Jesus tell that parable couldn't believe their ears. So who are the righteous and who are the wicked? And where do you stand? Our gospel lesson answers that question. You know, I just made the point that so many of these parables that Jesus told had shocking endings. Almost always, it seemed, it was the wicked who Jesus proclaimed righteous. But nothing that Jesus ever said or did was more shocking to his followers than the story laid out in today's gospel lesson from Luke 23. Though Jesus had warned them of his coming death in Jerusalem, they were so completely taken with the idea that Jesus would be crowned king, they couldn't even begin to entertain the notion that Jesus would instead actually be killed. So when it happened, as we read about here, the disciples of Jesus were stunned, completely devastated. But there was Jesus with a crown of thorns on his head and a sign above him identifying him as the King of the Jews. To his right and to his left, there also hung two common thieves. As Jesus hung dying, those who'd arranged to have him arrested stood below screaming at him with hatred. If he's really the Christ of God, let him save himself like he saved everyone else. They screamed and scoffed and mocked, and pretty soon the soldiers got into it, ridiculing and taunting Jesus. And through it all, the only response of Jesus was this: "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing." Finally, the taunting got so bad, even one of the thieves hanging next to him chimed in. "Hey, aren't you supposed to be the Christ? Then save yourself and us too." And that's the moment when something really remarkable happened. The second thief turned to the thief who was mocking Jesus and said to him, "Don't you fear God as we hang here dying? This Jesus has done nothing wrong, though we're getting what we deserve." That, by the way, was a confession of sin, similar to what we just did a few minutes ago. And then turning to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That was a cry for mercy and forgiveness and a confession of faith, similar to what we'll do in a few minutes. Well, how did Jesus respond? As he hung there dying on the cross, painfully struggling to breathe, Jesus turned to the guilty criminal and said, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." In the parables, there were the respected Pharisee and the hated tax collectors. There was an obedient older brother and a rebellious younger brother. There were God-fearing Jews and a cult member Samaritan. And here, as Jesus hung dying, there were two convicted, guilty criminals. One mocked Jesus, and the other begged Jesus for mercy. All these different people, when it gets right down to it, have a lot in common. They all have problems and faults. They're all imperfect sinners. And Scripture makes it clear that every one of us, just like them, will struggle with sin until the day we die. So what makes one person righteous and the other wicked? What's different about the thief who went to heaven and the thief who apparently didn't? The thief who went to heaven recognized himself for what he was, a sinner, and he threw himself upon the mercy of God. The distinction between the righteous and the wicked, as the prophet Malachi puts it, is not that one is sinful and the other is not sinful. We're all sinful. There's no us and them when it comes to sin. If you don't believe it, read Romans 3. The difference is that the sinful who've been forgiven are declared righteous and are the recipients of the imputed righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of Christ credited to them. And all of this is a gift given to you who believe, who trusted Christ. In fact, even your faith is a gift. Read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The bottom line is you can hear the words of Christ spoken to the thief on the cross. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. And you also can have the same assurance that the thief on the cross was given. So be at peace. Though you're sinful, you've been declared righteous, and you belong to Christ, who will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Christ the King Sunday, as we anticipate Advent and Christmas and the celebration of the birth of Jesus, Lord, help us in humility to recognize our own sinfulness and cause it in our own humility to be able to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Lord, cause it also, recognizing our own sinfulness, cause it to fill us with gratitude toward you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.